then we find many descriptions about the nature of the holy dawn. In particular, if we read the Upadeshamrita, or the which is translated as the Nectar of Instruction, written by Srila Rupa Goswami, which is one of the principal books which Srila Prabhupada translated. This Nectar of Instruction is very short. It is a small book. Very small book, actually. But in this very small book, Srila Rupa Goswami has included the entire essence of devotional service. Everything is there. So, at the end of the book, Srila Rupa Goswami begins to describe the holy places in Vrindavan. And he describes how Vrindavan is higher than Mathura, and he describes the glory of Govardhan still being higher. And finally, he describes how the most sacred place in the entire universe is Radhakund. But for us, there is still one place which is more sacred, even than Radhakund. The holiest of holy places in Vrindavan we may find in either Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi, or we may find in his rooms in Vrindavan. Because it is stated that actually in the world there is one place which is higher than Vrindavan. Is there any place higher than Vrindavan? How can there be? There is. And that is known as the Prabhu Dutta Desh. The Prabhu Dutta Desh means the place which has been given to us by the spiritual master. And therefore, it is through Prabhupada in particular that we can really approach the holy dawn, that we can approach Vrindavan. Alone we can go, oh yes, we can join holy, we can throw colors, we can call Radhe Radhe, Sham Sham, we can do all these things, we can dance with the locals, we can see all kinds of things. But without Prabhupada, we don't get the quality. We don't penetrate deeply into the spiritual nature of Krishna and of his transcendental abode. Therefore, for us, the most important connection with the spiritual world and with the holy dham is Srila Prabhupada. Because Srila Prabhupada is the resident of the spiritual world. It is said in the scriptures that you cannot know Krishna. You cannot know Krishna directly. Anyone who on his own accord tries to experience Krishna is simply causing a disturbance. It is said, Utpateye vikalpate. Pancharatra vidim vina. If one goes without the regulative principles of Shastra in approaching Krishna, Utpateye vikalpate, one simply becomes a disturbance on the spiritual path. So one may be walking around and go to such a place like Vrindavan and call out, Krishna, Krishna, Radhe, Radhe. But one cannot really actually experience the depth of Krishna's presence. Because scriptures explain to us that one cannot approach Krishna directly. There is no such way. First of all, one has to become purified. In the Pancharatra, it is stated that Sarvopari Vinirmuktam Tat Paratvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. We must first give up all false pride in who we are. I am an important man.
Huh.
Don't they know? I'm an educated man. Don't they know? I am a very rich man. I am smart. And so on. Everyone can find some qualities for which he thinks I'm special. I'm special. What can I do? Somebody has to be special. When there are many, many people sitting in a room, somebody got to be special. And it happens to be me. What can you do? That's nature. It's just me. I've always been special, as long as I can remember. And that is my position. But in Vrindavan, right, even the special man is meant to step down from his platform of greatness and give up all designation. I have no claim to fame. That should be the mood. I have no claim to fame. Naham viprana chanara patir na piveshana sudro. Naham varni na chagriha patir. No vanasta kintu projan nikila paramananda punam ritabdir gopi pat kamala yor dasuna dasuna das. I have no claim to fame. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed. Naham vipra, I'm not a brahmana. Naham vipra, na vaishya, na sudra. I'm not a vaishya, not a sudra. Not any of these designations. I am not a householder, not a vanaprastha, not a sannyasi. I am none of these things. I am simply the servant of those devotees who are totally absorbed in transcendental ecstasy, in perfection. Gopi Bhaita Pada Kamala Yur, the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis of Vrindavan. So, in Vrindavan, it doesn't matter who one is. In Vrindavan we come to remember. Actually, I came in this world without anything. Actually, whatever I have is simply a gift from the Lord. And He placed things under my care. Just like devotees are being trained, that when they possess a book, right, that sometimes they feel like writing their name in the book. But that they cannot just write their name in the book, but that they should write in the care of, and then their name. This is how we were trained. Right? It should be written in the care of, and then our name. But not that this book is mine. Okay? You can write in this book, this is mine, and anybody who touches it is in trouble, and write your name. Yeah? That you can do. But these kind of claims in the world of I and mine, these are the claims that belong to the bodily concept of life. So many times we have said that we are not the body, we are eternal spirit soul. And you may have seen it printed on a t-shirt. Yeah? There are many such t-shirts which say in the front, we are not the body, eternal spirit soul. Nice message, nice slogan, something to remember, something to hear on the Sunday lecture. We are not the body, we are eternal spirit soul. We are not the body, we are eternal spirit soul. We are not the body, we are eternal spirit soul. We are not the body, we are eternal spirit soul. We are not the body, eternal spirit soul. We are not the body, we are? You didn't do that, you're sleeping. Okay, we're going to do it again. Everybody, wake up now. It's quite late to be still sleeping at 1:45 in the afternoon. So we're trying again. We are not the body, we are? Okay, thank you. So you know it, huh? I think you've heard it before, isn't it? Huh? Have you heard before? Yes? Okay, very good. So, but we never thought about what it really meant. If you think about what it means, it basically means that any designation that applies to the body is not relevant to us. But that's quite drastic, you know. That's very drastic, because we have hundreds of designations. father, brother, and so on, and so on, and so on. Nationality, passport, age, right? Is that your astrological chart, biodata, qualifications, right? You can go on and make a huge list. And all these are not relevant. Just like astrology, you can get your chart done and can all calculate your birth chart, exactly what the constellation was from the stars at the time of your birth, and we can see so many things from that about the body and about the karma and about the mind, but nothing about the soul, because a birth chart cannot apply to that which never takes birth, and that is the soul. The soul never takes birth, Krishna says. Na jayate mriyate vakadachin. Therefore, astrology doesn't apply to the soul. Therefore, on the spiritual platform, astrology has no value. Therefore, Prabhupada said, you clap your hands and all the line in front of the deity and all the lines will have changed. You can try it. Just like, since we are trying to wake everyone up, I'll try and wake you up again. So, you all look very carefully. It says in the scriptures that if anyone chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra once, that he's changed. So, you're looking, you're seeing. I'm going to do the experiment now, so be attentive. You see my face, everything? Alright, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
No, Krishna, Krishna. That's alright, that's okay. That comes later. Slow down. You got distracted now. So, you saw the change when I chanted? Anyone saw it? Did everyone? You didn't see? See, because you were not, you were making so much noise, you were not looking. You're supposed to be looking. Right? So, if I say, it is said in the scriptures, if you chant Hare Krishna once, you will change. So you look, please. I'm chanting now. Hare Krishna, don't repeat. Have I changed? How have I changed? Anyone has seen? You have seen it. Okay. He needs to speak very loud because we cannot hear you. That hands get raised all the time. Sometimes they hang up, sometimes up, down, sometimes they go like that. And these hands are very restless things. They cannot hold them still for a moment, these hands. So that's not a change. That's just a repetition of the same old movements. Hands go up, hands come down. Right? Chanting. The voice. He said the hands, you say the voice. The voice has also not changed. I can still do the same. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Same. What? There is no second mic today? Second microphone is not here. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you got elevated one point ahead on the path of Krishna consciousness by chanting once Krishna.
I got a point.
You got elevated one point ahead on the path of Krishna consciousness.
I cannot hear what he says. Liberated? Elevated one point. Okay. It's getting warmer, much warmer, better than the hand, better than the voice. We're going up. Then? Maybe I should finish it then. Srila Prabhupada explains, he says what happens. What happens is that the subtle body changes. The subtle body actually changes. He says the body of mind, intelligence and false ego becomes changed by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra once. And the subtle body is being purified from the influence of the lower modes of passion and ignorance. And immediately that subtle body becomes more and more situated in goodness, which otherwise would have taken a long, long time of associating with the mode of goodness, now simply by Hare Krishna. And already the subtle body is changing towards the mode of goodness. And the more we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it goes beyond the mode of material goodness to the mode of Visuddha Sattva, transcendental goodness. So, this chanting is very, very powerful. Very powerful, immediately. And this is how it works. That's why sometimes people say that, like, if you take your birth in as a Sudra or a Vaishya, then how can you become a Brahmana? Because this, it is said the Sudra is in Tamaguna, in the mode of ignorance. The Vaishya is mixed ignorance and passion. The Kshatriya is in the mode of passion. And the Brahmana is in the mode of goodness, Sattva Guna. So how can one who is by nature in passion or ignorance transform into goodness in this life? Even if you give him all the training and all the education, etc., he can never become, they say. Maybe in the next birth, right? They say, if this time he behaves very nicely, very piously in the mode of goodness, then in next life he can actually take birth in goodness. Yes, we say, but one who chants Hare Krishna, he can become eligible. Why? Because this chanting of Hare Krishna changes the subtle body, and immediately, very quickly, many, many births are removed. No need for all these births. Immediately move on to the consciousness of the mode of goodness. Immediately become a Brahmana. And therefore, not immediately, but after some time, we actually offer the Brahminical initiation to devotees who are chanting Hare Krishna. And it is stated that one who chants the holy name becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. That is a fact. But it is all on the strength that the holy name has the potency to change our nature. So this is interesting, interesting. Of course, that is not the goal of the chanting. The goal of the chanting is not just to purify the heart. Purifying the heart is like preparing the ground. Just as it is said that Krishna and Balaram are residing in Vrindavan. So, when we come to Vrindavan, since we are the followers of Srila Prabhupada, and since we know that we are going to really enter into Vrindavan through the mercy of Prabhupada, therefore we are very happy to go to the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, and we bow down in Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi and take the dust on our head for our purification, and we try to understand what Prabhupada's mission was, and how he went all over the world to give the highest knowledge to the most fallen in the mood of Lord Chaitanya, and how then, as a perfect example, he came back to Vrindavan. Then we will go to his house, where he used to sit, and we see that on the wall opposite of his seat in the room, there are pictures of all the acharyas. They are very nicely painted, kind of in a classical style. And to the left, we see there is a painting of Krishna and Balaram, walking with the cows. We're seeing many cows, and we see also many animals of Vrindavan. We see a peacock, we see a squirrel, we see a monkey. We see how Mother Yasoda stands there on the side. We see how behind the pillars of the houses, the gopis are also there. Krishna is surrounded by cowherd boys. It is Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. So, after having paid obeisance in Prabhupada's house as well, now we are going to the temple. And we are entering into the temple, walking past the left side, and we again find the deity of Prabhupada. We offer our obeisances to the different deities, and we see that the main deities on the center altar are Krishna and Balaram. And that Radha Shyama Sundar are off on the side altar. So why did Prabhupada call his temple the Krishna Balaram Mandir? Why? Why did he specifically stress the importance of Krishna and Balaram over any other deity in Vrindavan? This is an important question. So, one might say that ultimately, isn't it ultimately so that the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are the highest? So they say. They say that the highest expression of devotional service is found in the gopis of Vrindavan. Then why not have Radha Shyamasundar on the central altar? Why Krishna and Balaram? Why did Prabhupada do that? And we look at Krishna and Balaram, and we see that Balaram holds a plow on his shoulder, isn't it? Balaram stands there with a plow in his blue dhoti and whitish body, and Krishna, blackish, right? He's holding his flute. So this is the traditional way that Krishna and Balaram are manifesting themselves. Balaram with the plow. So the plow of Balaram is for plowing the field of our heart, for preparing the soil. And Balaram is the one who gives spiritual strength. Why? Because there is not any difference between Krishna and Balaram. They are the same. Right? But Balaram is the servant of Lord Krishna. He is the Supreme Lord. Krishna is also the Supreme Lord, but one is Sevya Bhagavan and the other one is Sevak Bhagavan. Sevya Bhagavan means the Supreme Lord, the Bhagavan, who is being served. Sevak Bhagavan, the one who is serving. So Balaram is the one who is always in the mood of serving. He serves Krishna in so many ways. Because Balaram expands himself. And Balaram becomes the seat of the Lord, the bed of the Lord, the shoes of the Lord, the instruments that are used for glorifying the Lord, the plate of the Lord, the seating place of the Lord, the cup of the Lord, the dress of the Lord, even the abode of the Lord, even Vrindavan is actually Balaram, expanded in that form. So Balaram, in this way, is the original servant of the Lord. Therefore, Balaram is described to be the example. He is Adi Guru, the original Guru. The original Guru who is teaching us. Of course, Srila Prabhupada said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he describes why he installed Krishna and Balaram. Of course, I told you only half. I told you about Balaram. I should first tell you about Krishna. Krishna plays the flute, right? And that flute, of course, can instill the highest realizations of devotion into the hearts of the devotees. It takes devotional service beyond ritual. The devotional ritual. You do the ritual and then you get the blessing. And if you don't do the ritual, then some bad things may also happen. So you must do always the religious ritual. This is a very important thing to do, the ritual, a regular performance of the religious duty and strictly following the religious ritual. Lekin, isme to pura anant nahi aata hai. Bilkul nahi. Kyunki anant to sirf Bhagavan ka sambandh mein aata hai. So, the real happiness only comes in the pure relationship with Krishna. Not in the relationship of Krishna as the order supplier. We go in the temple and we slap our cheeks, left, right, pull our ears, etc. Do two knee bends and call out, Om. And we think, yes. And if there's a bell also, we ring that bell very hard. So why are we ringing the bell very hard? Why anyway are we ringing a bell when we enter the temple? Again, there is a microphone. And I want to hear from you. Where is that mic? Okay. So, anyone who can tell me why are we ringing the bell when we enter the temple? Please. Don't be shy now. Anyone? Okay. Mike is coming. My question is, why are we ringing the bell when we enter the temple? Everyone is doing it, isn't it? How many times did you ring the bell? And when there's a temple and there's a big bell, you ring it very loud. Bang, 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 bang. Right? Why? I'm asking today. So, I guess somebody must know because I've heard a lot of noise over the years.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, they consider that it is auspicious.
It's auspicious. Auspicious. Okay, pass it on to your neighbor. Yes.
We are conveying to God that I have come.
Yes, very good, very good, very good, very good. I thank you very much for your answer. So the first one is auspicious. Second one, we are conveying to God, I have come. Right? And I read in one book, a professor was responding to that point, you know, I have come. He said, as if God is sleeping, you know, and as if you have to ring the bell very loud to wake him up, I have come. Huh? He is all knowing. You think he doesn't know? So, the real answer is actually not I have come. This is nor just auspiciousness. This is the misconception. The real reason, we are not ringing the bell for the Lord. We're ringing the bell for ourselves. We're ringing the bell that now I'm stepping into the house of the Lord. Now I'm going before Krishna. Now I have to be attentive. That's why we're ringing the bell. To wake up ourselves. Wake up. Ding, ding, ding. Oh yes. This is the temple. This is not your home where you can do anything you like. This is the home of your Lord. Yeah? That is why we are ringing the bell. So, there are all kinds of rules and rituals that are being performed in temples. Isn't it? In some temples, they're very strict. Like you go to Nathdwar. Some of you may have been to Nathji in Nathdwar. And you will see that there, in front of the deities, there are men with golden topis. Right? They have golden topis and also some kapra. Right? And with this kapra, anybody who comes, they beat. They beat. Yeah? They beat the people like that with cloth. And the first time you come, you come, what is going on in this temple? Why are they beating in this temple? Huh? So they are beating because they want the people to bow down to the deity. It's all tradition. Yeah? Yeah. You have to bow down to the deity. See, he's still not bowing. Huh? I'm trying. So, this is the stubborn nature of the conditioned soul. So, anyway, that's why they are beating to make people bow down in the temple. So there are many regulative principles to follow in the temple. And this all is part of a ritual. Yeah? It must be performed. And if you do it just right, then so many blessings will come. In Vrindavan, when it is Yatri time, all the Yatri lok are coming. Outside the temple are the money changers. And you can go there and you can bring 1 rupee and the money changers will give you 100 1 paisa coins. 1 paisa coins we have in Vrindavan. Yeah. Here in Bombay you don't have any more. There used to be, but now it's finished. No more 1 paisa coin. But in Vrindavan you can buy the 1 paisa coin outside the temple. For 1 rupee you get 100, so pretty good. And then you can go around the temples and then you can throw these 1 paisa coins at the deities. Do all the everything and then hope that for 1 paisa you will get 1 lakh. Good profit. Quite good. Right? So what is this? Is this bhakti or is it business? Yeah. It sounds like good business to me. Which business can you invest 1 paisa and get 1 lakh return? But we're expecting. And then usually people also throw the coin quite hard at the deity, you know. Preferably, right? Sometimes, in some seasons, we had to put a curtain, right? Some net, you know, because the coins, so many coins all day. And it's getting dangerous for the deity, inconvenient at least, right? So all this coin throwing, face slapping, knee bending, bell ringing, and so beating with the cloth. He's very stubborn, he doesn't want to bow. But I will check him later. So, like that, all this ritual is there. But that is not the purpose. And Srila Prabhupada really came to take things way beyond ritual, to take things to the point of pure devotional service. Now there are others who come to Vrindavan and they say, yes, it is not about ritual. It is all about pure bhakti. And they immediately, they fall in front of Krishna. And they cry the tears with great devotion. But that also is not possible. So Prabhupada told us that devotional service is not all about rules and regulations and ritual, and that it is also not about cheaply exhibiting the symptoms of devotion. Then it is a gradual process of step-by-step purification, of becoming very serious and pure. Prabhupada said, anyone who is an ordinary pilgrim can stay 3 days. One who is more serious can stay 30 days. One who is more serious, 3 months, 3 years, 30 years, whole life. Right? Why 3 days? Because the ordinary man is not accustomed to follow the four regulative principles. But then when we come to the holy dham, we must follow. So anyone can give up his BD for 3 days. No, BD nahi, chai nahi, kuch nahi, ho ho, bahut mushkil, patni bhi nahi aaya, bilkul 3 din brahmachari rahenge, ho ho, aisa tapasya chal raha hai, mere ko bahut mushkil aata hai. So, these things are going on for 3 days, the yatri lok. Comes for 3 days. But Prabhupada prepared us to go to a deeper level where we could go beyond the 3-day visit to actually enter deeply into Vrindavan. Enter purely. Not in an artificial sentimental mood or not in a cheap mood without any principles, but to follow strictly regulative principles. Because it says it is the holy dham is a place where one must be pure. And there are many references in scripture that anyone who engages in illicit sex in Vrindavan is destined to become an animal, a monkey or some other animal form. That we can remember. So therefore, some strictness and purity is there. So we are entering into the holy dham, right? But all along, we are walking carefully behind Prabhupada, very carefully. He is our guide. We are there because of His mercy. We are there a little different than everyone else. There are so many people, they have come from Delhi in their Marutis, and they are drinking fruities, and they are chewing pan, and they are doing also some, they go to the Raslila performance, so much anand. But we are not doing this because we have come following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, who is teaching us the principles that were given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada writes within the Chaitanya Charitamrita why we are worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. He said, because Vrajananandan ye sachi suto holo say Balaram holo nitai, that same Krishna is now manifest as Lord Gauranga. And Balaram has come as Nitai. And therefore, we must go through the mercy of Gaur Nitai. If we are not going through the mercy of Gaur Nithai, then there is no question that the residents of Vrindavan or that the residents of Kali Yuga can ever enter into Vrindavan. Not possible. We cannot understand Vrindavan. Now, talking about Vrindavan, when we are reading the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, and in the first chapter of that 10th canto, we begin to get descriptions about the appearance of Krishna in Vrindavan, and so on. Or in Mathura, and then he goes to Vrindavan. All these descriptions are there. And we find some commentaries of Madhavacharya. And Madhavacharya is explaining that Mathura, this is referring to Mathura Mandal, which is all of Vrindavan area. He says Mathura is not a place, it is a state of consciousness. He's there referring that it's a state of consciousness. So this we heard confirmed of Srila Prabhupada, who said, you cannot buy a ticket to Vrindavan. Yeah? It is a state of consciousness. So, nobody is so strict about these things. But the followers of Prabhupada, they are entering into Vrindavan even without going physically there. Right? Even if they don't go on the train, they're entering simply by purifying their consciousness and by gradually internally developing the state of consciousness of Vrindavan. Where, first of all, the devotees are pure, following all the pure standards, and then just dedicate their lives in the glorification of Krishna in a very glorious way. And in this way, even in the middle of Bombay, in a mundane place like Chopati, they can invoke Vrindavan. Because wherever the devotees are, worshipping Krishna in that mood, there is Vrindavan. Therefore, there is no doubt that we don't have to worry about going there. We are already there. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Maha. Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Maha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Shri Govinda Gopinath Madhavan Mohan. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Shri Govinda Gopinath Madhavan Mohan.
So Vrindavan is available to the pure devotees. And Srila Prabhupada gave us the means to become pure devotees. Then we can truly understand these things about selfless service to Krishna. So Prabhupada himself taught us how to be such a devotee. And he taught us that first of all, we must follow the science of devotional service. That it's not just a sentimental thing, not just a matter of, such a nice atmosphere. There is so much bhakti. Not just like that. I have seen people coming and calling out bhava, bhava, bhava. This is nice, but still nicer is to follow the science of devotional service. So by systematically following the science of bhakti yoga, we are following the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna and Balaram are none different from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore Srila Prabhupada established Krishna and Balaram as the principal deities in the temple in Vrindavan, so that we could step by step go through the process. That first of all we could appreciate the mercy of Lord Nityananda. It is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Nityananda is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. Why? Why? It is said, because he is in the mood of the servant of Lord Chaitanya. And because he is in the mood of the servant of Lord Chaitanya, he is experiencing the greatest ecstasy. And this ecstasy is so great that he becomes intoxicated. He is like drunk, drunk with happiness. And because Lord Nityananda is so drunk with happiness, when he sees someone, he is too intoxicated. He cannot see who is qualified, who is not qualified to get the mercy. Therefore, whenever it moves, give it the mercy. In this way, Lord Nityananda is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. And that is why we first take shelter of Lord Nityananda. We need the most merciful. We know very well we are the most fallen. So, by looking for the mercy of Lord Nityananda, how do we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda? Well, he is always serving Krishna. So by serving Krishna, we can attract the attention of the servant of Krishna, obviously. Some people will come, oh, Nitai, Nitai, Kripa. Doya Kora More, very nice, give me mercy, give me mercy. But if we go to Vrindavan to serve Krishna, then Lord Nityananda is looking, look, he's doing my work. He's doing my work. Oh, very nice. Him I will give special blessings. In this way, by service, by devotional service, by practical devotional service, we can attract the attention of Lord Nityananda. By keeping the temple of the Lord spotlessly clean, Singaratan Mandira Marjanado, that we take great pleasure in cleansing the temple of the Lord. That is the service. Krishna must have all comforts. He must be cool. We can be hot, but he must be cool first. Everything must be spotless. He must have the best. The best is for him. We are the servants. We stay off to the side. Everything goes to our master. In this spirit, we serve Krishna. And by that service, we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And gradually, we become advanced in devotional service and get taste. Lord Nityananda will give us taste in our devotional service. When there is taste in devotional service, then we become more and more enthusiastic to serve. Then, when we hear, then we can meditate on Krishna playing the flute. When we are purified, and when we have come to live according to the proper spiritual standard, then we can become initiated. And then when we become more strict and knowledgeable in the scriptures, and we always follow the standard of the scriptures, then we can receive second initiation. And in that second initiation, we can receive the Gayatri Mantra. And it is stated that the Gayatri Mantra is the sound of Krishna's flute in words, actually. So it is said. So then we can begin to chant that Gayatri Mantra. And when we chant it perfectly, that will take a long time. I have so far not managed. But when we are one day able to chant this Gayatri perfectly, then we'll hear Krishna's flute. Then what will happen? Yes. So, there is no limit to what one can experience in Krishna consciousness if we become very serious. And that's the idea. This is not some religious revival movement. It is not that. Prabhupada's movement was not a movement to sort of wake up everyone. Wake up. We must again be serious about our spiritual duties. No. This is the movement of completely giving your life. Completely giving your life. So many have come here today, and somehow or other, I see here and there in the crowd, I see some faces of devotees who are wearing tilak. But actually, everyone should wear tilak. Everyone should wear tilak. This tilak is the sign of submission. The sign of surrender to Krishna. Now I am yours. So everyone should wear this tilak. There was one man, he had a factory. And in that factory, many of the workers, they were Vaishnav, they were wearing tilak. But then the factory was sold to some Muslim owner. So this Muslim owner said, from tomorrow on, no one in my factory can wear tilak. This must be finished. So the next day, everyone was very afraid and very upset. What are we going to do? This rascal is telling us not to wear tilak, but we cannot lose our job also. We have families to maintain. What will we do? So it broke their heart, but they took off the tilak and they went to work the next day without tilak. But one man, he was wearing tilak. So the boss was saying, why are you wearing tilak? He said, that is my personal affair. That is my personal life, my own spiritual life. He said, that has nothing to do with my job. I do my job, said, and I wear my tilak. The boss said, I like you. You have guts. You can wear tilak, but nobody else can. So I know many people actually who are devotees who go to work with Tilak nowadays. Not only in India, but even outside of India. Can you imagine? In India people will say, what you're doing with this, you know? I mean, what is this, you know? But outside of India they go, what is it? Some bird droppings. They don't know what it is. What is it? But people, they wear on their job. I have one disciple also. He says, anyway, I have permanent appointment. They cannot fire me. So, he has some contract with some computer firm as a programmer. He's wearing Tilak. So, everyone can wear Tilak, and if you don't wear to work, at least wear when you come to the temple. At least that much. Because here no one will tell that you cannot wear Tilak. Here no one will come and say, hey, what is this? Why you are wearing Tilak? What is this? First he's not bowing down and now he's wearing Tilak. I catch him every time. So, like that, we must not be afraid. We must not be afraid to go beyond the ordinary. We must not just, come a little bit to the temple and do something pious. We must understand that somehow or other, either knowingly or unknowingly, we have come across a great teacher, a great pure devotee, who is leading this movement to extraordinary heights. And we, devotees from the West, have come here to testify that by the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, we are here. Otherwise, we don't know how. Recently you had the Maidan festival to remember how Prabhupada made so many international devotees and brought them back to Bombay to show them to the Indian people. See what I've done. Here they are, my Western disciples. And it is a fact. He did that. So, if Westerners could become devotees, what to speak of those who are born in India? Therefore, we should take full advantage of this movement and all and join. Become serious devotees. Yes, just join. Just become a regular member and follow the step-by-step process of purification. And we will reach the topmost levels of devotion. That is my message to you today, that if we want to really enter into Vrindavan, we must do it through Srila Prabhupada. And that is the point. Going to Vrindavan or going to the spiritual world means to follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada. And you can do it. And all of us can do it. It is not so difficult. Because there's a very nice temple with nice devotees to help us every step of the way. So there's so much support, so much help. We should not hold back. We should do it. Whether we are old, young, man or woman, doesn't matter. Everyone is welcome. No designations, remember? Those you can leave outside. We don't care if you are a big company director. When you come in here, be a devotee like everyone else. Just be a servant of Krishna. That is our only designation. Servant of the servant of the servant. So all are welcome to join this wonderful program of being the servant of the servant of the servant, Srila Prabhupada, of Krishna. Thank you very much for your patience and listening to my lengthy presentation. If there are any questions, I can try to respond to them shortly. I don't want to take too much time. Yeah. Microphones are there. Oh.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your wonderful presentation.
yeah.
In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes, a devotee should be avowedly truthful.
A devotee should be avowedly truthful. Okay.
What does it mean?
It is explained that the truth, there is mundane truth, and there is transcendental truth. The mundane truth, or the relative truth, is also valuable. If we speak the mundane truth, then that will bring us to the mode of goodness. But then, one day, one child comes running into your house. Help! And then some heavy-looking characters come around the corner and they said, did you see any child? And you are speaking the truth. Yes, I'm hiding this child here in my house. They come inside and just and kill the child. Right? What is the use of your truth? Right? So there is a time to speak a lie also. Obviously, any man in his good mind would say, child? I've never seen any child. No, no child here. Isn't it? Any person with a bit of a heart would lie like anything. So, when it comes to relative truth, right, sometimes we have to speak untruth. If it is in the interest of the situation, we must do it. Prabhupada gives the example, the child doesn't want to take the medicine, and you say, oh, it's very... Open your mouth. No, no, no. Oh, it's very sweet. It's not sweet, but you just tell. It's sweet, it's sweet. Okay. Swallow it, you know. It's not sweet. Well, yes, but you took it. You took it. And that was the main thing. So, in material life, there are sometimes situations where one may have to deviate from the truth. But, therefore, when it is said in the Nectar of Devotion, that we must be avowedly truthful. So, in other words, totally dedicated to the truth. It means that materially we are truthful as much as is reasonable. But it really means we never deviate from the absolute truth. That we are the servant of Krishna, the eternal servant of Krishna. Eternal means always, wherever we are. We're always the servant of Krishna. Even if you are at the job in disguise, right, wearing the office suit, still we are the servant of Krishna. And we act accordingly. No, that tea, I am not interested. That's okay. We will not take, because we are the servant of Krishna. And we know that when we get the paycheck, that a share belongs to Krishna. I will not argue how much today, which percentage, I'll leave that to the local devotees. But a share of what we work for belongs to Krishna. Otherwise, we are selfish. We must give. Householder is an accumulator. He's accumulating. That's a householder's business. Accumulate. My house is a very, very fine house. And I put so many nice things inside. Yes, yes. So, householder, his dharma is charity. So he must always give in charity. So like that, in all circumstances, avowedly truthful, always fixed on the truth that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. That's actually what it means. But we also keep worldly truth. We only will speak untruth or lie in emergency. Otherwise, we should speak the truth. Because that will give us at least a mode of goodness. That's valuable. Yes, I see a hand, but no microphone. There is a note coming which probably says, Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, you have to stop immediately. Usually, it's the question. I I am from the most prestigious college from South Bombay. By putting tilak once, I had to face a lot of ridicule. It is very difficult to put tilak now. Please advise. Well, I am from the most prestigious college in Amsterdam. And by putting a pink dress, right? Not only tilak, but a pink dress and a bead bag, the comments that I was getting, you cannot believe. You cannot believe. Some men were whistling at me. Hey, I like your dress. Huh? I mean, quite embarrassing, you know. Hey, a man with a dress and a skirt. Look at that. He's got a skirt on. Huh? Yelling like that. You know, I have my bead bag hanging around my neck and my hand in sight. And some people say, oh, you broke your head? Huh? So people just say, eh? look at that tilak, look at that tilak. So it takes courage. It takes courage. Huh? That one man in the company that had been sold to the Muslim, he obviously had a lot of courage. So he was wearing tilak. The others didn't have so much courage. They didn't wear. Now anyway, my lecture, if you remember very well, I said many people are wearing tilak nowadays on their work, right? Even in the West. And in the West, believe me, people think this is more strange than they think in India. And do they ridicule us like anything. That we have to tolerate. But even if we don't wear tilak at work, I will accept it. All I asked, to wear it in the temple. Remember? So the next time that I sit here, that I see an ocean of tilak, that will be very auspicious. I'm waiting for that day that everyone in the temple room will have tilak. In fact, we could have tilak at the, a bowl with tilak and mirrors at the entrance room. That is already there. Just see. It's there. So if you forgot to put it at home, you can still put it here. Why not? And you can take it off again when you go out the gate. You know, nobody will see outside. That's all right in the beginning, no problem. But at least in the temple. Here no one will ridicule. Here we will appreciate. And Krishna will be very pleased. Oh, here comes my devotee. So, what can we do? The world will ridicule us for being devotees. My family doesn't want to know me. Right? They don't want to know me like this. If I ring them up, then they ask, not how are you, they ask, where are you? And they hope I will say, in India. And when I say in Holland, which is my own country, they ask, we will not be home in the next few days because we have some appointments already, and it's just like very unfortunate, but maybe we can meet you next time. Thank you very much. Click. Right? So what to do? What to do? Krishna comes first. And at least in the temple, we take a step closer. That will be nice. Okay, someone had a hand there and gets a microphone. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It is very difficult to be humble.
Difficult to be humble?
It is very difficult to be humble. So, if you do some service, sometimes I have observed, almost always, I have observed that proud comes as a byproduct. It just comes as a byproduct. Okay, so shall we stop serving?
No.
What
service itself will purify you from the pride. So, just continue. Pride may come, but with time, Krishna will take care of that. He will smash it. Yeah? See, in devotional service, there are two options. One is to become humble, and the other one is to become smashed. So it's really up to us. If we want to become smashed, just continue serving and be proud. And don't worry, you will be smashed. In order to concentrate on chanting, his mind is like a mercury. Is that? It's like a mercury. Cannot concentrate. So is yoga essential for concentration on chanting? Well, it is certainly true that to create proper material conditions is favorable for chanting. Therefore, it is recommended that we sit in a peaceful place. Just we hear the japa tape where Srila Prabhupada is chanting with his devotees, and at one point, in the middle of the chanting, Prabhupada says, "Sit properly." This is famous. "Sit properly," he says in the middle of that japa tape. So there is such a thing as sitting properly. And sitting proper, straight, right? And concentrating. And then chanting. So some element of that is there. It is also recommended to do it early in the morning. That is the best time, when things are peaceful and quiet, when the world is still asleep and the devotees sit and chant. That is the best. But real concentration is not a matter of some exercise of fixing the mind. Because the mind is very restless, and even if you try to fix it, still it will go here and there. But the more we hear about Krishna, the more we become attracted to Krishna, and the more naturally we will be able to focus the mind on the Mahamantra. Therefore, it is hearing about Krishna that will give us new taste and inspiration in the chanting. And that can make us chant more attentively. And that is the most effective means. Right? That is more effective than trying to do some pranayama or trying to do this or that. Right? Better hear Srimad Bhagavatam, because that will naturally fix the mind on Krishna. Otherwise, like pranayama, you learn to fix, and now I'm fixing my mind on the holy name, this impossible name, where you cannot fix your mind on, but somehow or other I'm going to do it now, with the help of pranayama. Nice, but nicer to become attracted to the holy name by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Then I have here three questions typed out on a computer. I don't know who had a typer, who had a computer and a printer in the audience. Nowadays they come in all kinds of sizes. This must be a pocket model, handheld computer with a pocket printer. What is the difference between Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna? Is they are same, or if different, who is the greatest? Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Krishna is Adipurush, the original Purusha. Dipachireva hidasantaramabhyupecha dipayate vivritahenu samana dharma yastadrikeva hicha vishnu tayo vibhate govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So it is said, from one deepa, from one lamp, we can light another one. And again another one, and another one, and another one. The original lamp is Krishna. And all the other forms of the Lord, which are unlimited, ananta rupam, have been lit from the original lamp of Krishna. Isvaraha parama Krishna satchidananda vigraha anadiradir govinda sarva karana karanam. It is Krishna who is the original supreme personality of Godhead. He is the cause of all causes. He has no other origin, and everything is emanating from Him. So therefore, the form of Lord Vishnu is the expansion of Lord Krishna. It is clearly established in all the revealed scriptures. And I could go on quoting more verses, if you like, for another half an hour, but then we run out of time this Sunday, so I'll leave it at this. When we tell people about the concept of rebirth in lower species due to sin, they tell us to give life proof of that. In that situation, should be the proper answer. When people start asking for proof, then you can say that just like in any other science, if you want the proof, you have to be ready to follow the experiment. In science, they produce proof by performing experiments in the laboratory. And when a particular experiment can produce the same result every time, then after some time they consider this proof and they say, this is now a new scientific law. Right? That is science and that is how proof works. You explain that. You say, so we also have an experiment. And in Krishna consciousness, the experiment is with consciousness. So if you are ready to submit to the process to Krishna consciousness, the chanting of Hare Krishna, then every time a transformation of consciousness comes about, and in the course of this transformation of consciousness, you can actually directly experience that we are eternal beings, and you can directly understand that you have life after life been going through different species. Therefore, are you ready to undergo the experiment that you ask them when they ask for proof? Are you ready to undergo the experiment? And they say, I want proof. So if you want proof but you don't want to undergo the experiment, then don't ask any questions. They don't ask for proof. You are not a scientist. Follow the experiment and you will get your proof. Just one journalist came to Prabhupada. Can you see Krishna? Prabhupada said, yes, you can see him too. Oh, the journalist said, very nice, can you show me? Prabhupada said, yes, you become like him. And he pointed some Brahmacharya. That I cannot do. Prabhupada said, then don't ask about seeing Krishna. If somebody is doing all sins like meat eating, intoxication, etc., but as well as seriously, he see chanting 4 rounds a day, very seriously in the morning, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, and then time for breakfast, all right, bring the goat. I want a fresh goat in the morning for my breakfast. My chanting has increased my appetite. Yes, please give me that goat. Very nice. So, is this process beneficial to him, her? Can he be elevated? If a person has been addicted to meat eating for a long time and now suddenly starts chanting Hare Krishna due to the good influence of the devotees, then that devotee can be benedicted by chanting. And that chanting will gradually lift him above meat eating. But if a devotee who has been practicing and who knows very well says, yes, I'm chanting Hare Krishna and then I will go to the Big Mac, right, and all that. If such a devotee is eating meat, then he commits sinful activities on the strength of the Holy Name. So we should see who we are dealing with. There are many meat eaters outside. And if somehow or other we can make them say Hare Krishna even once, they will be purified. They will be. And if they start chanting and are still eating meat, they get purified. But we should preach to them, you have to give this up. Otherwise, what's the point of your chanting? You have to stop this now. You're chanting, and they cannot go on long for that. But the little time they get to make the adjustment. But no devotee, can ever break the four regulative principles and think that the chanting of Hare Krishna will save me. This is the seventh offense against the Holy Name, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the Holy Name. And Krishna, it is said, particularly dislikes this offense. He particularly dislikes this. And if one chants in this way, committing sinful activities, one can chant for many, many births. and still not attain the desired success of this chanting. Make practically no progress. Because the progress of chanting is not mechanical. It depends on the mercy of Krishna, on the pleasure of Krishna. So if Krishna sees that some ignorant meat eater who is a fool, who doesn't know anything, suddenly starts chanting Hare Krishna, he says, very nice, give him some mercy. But he sees that a devotee who knows better eats meat, rascal, he can chant as much as he likes, but I will withdraw all my mercy from him. So the result of chanting is personal. It is Krishna who becomes attracted by our chanting and personally gives us the mercy. And you can't cheat Krishna. If you try to cheat Krishna, in the end, he will cheat you. He's the biggest cheater, don't you know? So with that, I have answered all your questions. No, not all. There are still more notes coming. There's a very long question. My God, this is like a novel. You are a writer, isn't it? This is nice. You should write articles about Krishna. Yeah? To lead a purified life is recommended by the scriptures and the succeeders, the great personalities like Prabhupada. All the instructions are given by us. Still we deviate. We rascal. Still we deviate. We can't go as it should be because we are rascals. You will say mind and senses are extremely restless and always tend to be bewildered by illusion in this age of quarrel, conspiracy, envy, pride, Kali. That's not an excuse. We can say, oh, it's the age of Kali, therefore what can we do? My mind is always distracted. No, but it's actually not at all Kali Yuga at present. Some might think it is Kali Yuga, but the devotees of this movement, they know better. They know that actually it is Chaitanya Yuga. It is the Yuga of Lord Chaitanya. It is that special Kali Yuga where the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is there. So even those who are rascals, if they chant Hare Krishna, can stop being rascals. So anybody who feels like this cannot be serious about chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah? If we are serious about chanting Hare Krishna, it will be done. So by Maya it's happening. Even we come to the temple, we get a bit sober and sane. And we get out of temple, getting used to see outsides, false opulence, trumpery, so many mundane, bewildering things. Yes, when you step outside the temple, you must chant Hare Krishna, you rascal. Not only in the temple, Mr. Rascal, please don't mind I'm calling you Mr. Rascal, but you have to understand that actually the reason why you are not successful in spiritual life is because you want to be a rascal. That is it. We want to be rascals. We are attached. And we say, oh, I'm coming to your temple and I hear everything and it is so true and so nice and so devotional. But what can I do? I want to be a rascal. I'm so attached to being a rascal. So, naturally, you are telling again, you are writing. Naturally, some people are flexible and they are used to faltering. My question is the unerring way out not to be faltered amongst all the mundane enchantment, puzzle, illusion, bewilderment, especially for the weak ones? Yes, my dear rascal. We must be fixed. We must look at ourselves and say, and from today on, you rascal, I will not give you an inch. You understand? We cannot give an inch to the rascal in ourselves because everyone has a rascal within. It is not that the day you walk into the temple that our rascal nature will change. Our rascal nature will still be there. We may like the devotional activities, but deep inside is still a rascal. Therefore, today when you come home, you look into the mirror and you look him straight into the eyes, right, with a serious face, and you tell him, listen, you rascal, from today on, I'm not going to give you an inch. Hare Krishna. You tell him that. You can say. And he says, oh yeah? Who says so? And you say, the Swami says so. Huh? You can take my word for it. You just tell the rascal within yourself that you're not going to give that rascal an inch. And then take shelter. Shelter of chanting, of the devotees, of the temple. The more we come to the temple, the more spiritual strength we get. Nobody is strong by nature. Everyone becomes strong. This morning we spoke about putting the iron in the fire. And if you keep it in the fire, it will act like fire. So, everyone is iron, but can become fire by keeping it in the fire. The fire is here in this Chaupati Mandir. So come here and join and put your iron in the fire. Don't come here and just sit on the side and watch. Huh? Don't just watch, but put your iron in the fire. Chant. Take up this chanting. Take up the practices. And you too will one day just leave this little note behind and say, now I will no longer depend on this. It will just fly away. Okay? Alright? I've never done it with the fans on, but I'm sure it's going to be successful. May you fly away, and may we never see you again. Because we want to only see Krishna. Now Mahaprabhu will add some special nectar. So I am all eager to hear you. So Mahaprabhu has for many years done a lot of service, and he has thought deeply about devotional service, and Krishna has given him a sharp brain. That's why he became a lawyer. So he always asks these sharp cutting questions. So I'm a little afraid of the cross-examination. Krishna helps, is on my side. The microphone doesn't work.
Maharaj, how we should chant and what is your realization so that we can make progress?
How should we chant? What is my realization so that we can make progress? Prabhupada said, we should chant in a helpless state of mind, like a child. Which means, like a child calling out for the mother. It means that we should know, I have tried to be a devotee. I have tried to join this movement. I came, I put tilak, shaved my hair. I put the kunti mala, I put the dress, I tried. Then I tried to bow down to the will of the devotees. I did it, but I felt reluctant inside. I've tried to overcome this reluctance in my heart. I have tried to serve Krishna, and sometimes I liked it and sometimes I didn't. I have tried, and now after all these years, here I am. And I can't really say that I'm a success. I've been chanting so many years and still I can't say I'm a success. Therefore, Krishna, I have no other hope than that you help me, because on my own, with all my endeavors, I still didn't get very far. So Krishna, please, please allow me to take shelter of your name and somehow or other fix my mind, which doesn't want to fix, is so inattentive, but somehow or other, please help me so that my mind can fix. because I'm helpless. I've just found out I'm totally helpless. I depend on you only, because I know without your help, I can never successfully chant the holy name. I can only depend on you in all my endeavors, even in chanting. The chanting, which is the means by which I'm supposed to get your mercy, I can only do it if you help me. Because alone, all this time, I have actually failed to be successful. I think maybe that is the way to go. And I'm seeing that from a distance. I'm seeing that direction from a distance. And now I'm trying to go in that direction. It's difficult because on the way there are many obstacles. My pride, I get distracted and so on. Yeah? So I have to be smashed again. But I hope I've been smashed enough. Right? Because just as Mahaprabhu was this morning speaking about 27 years, and I also look back at 27 years, and I did get smashed. And I hope. Vridayananda Maharaj once shared a prayer with us, and he said, when I was young, I used to go before the deities, and I used to pray, my Lord, please purify me. He said, now I'm going before the deities and I'm praying, my Lord, please purify me softly. So I also hope that I finally can come to that point where I just start chanting in a mood of taking shelter of Krishna, and that I don't need to be smashed anymore. So that finally I will bow down. Yes, last question. Very last question. Thank you very much, Mahaprabhu.
Maharaj, you are there from Krishna consciousness from last 27 years.
Yeah.
Can you just give your hardcore realization?
Hardcore realization in
in this 27 years you might have seen lots and ups and downs in Krishna consciousness. You might have got some strong realization that we people have just started our Krishna consciousness. We don't know so much about Krishna consciousness. We have to see that we remain in Krishna consciousness till the last breath of our life. So can you just tell us that what will be the biggest difficulty that will be coming in our life? How that difficulty, if it comes in our life, how to overcome that difficulty and see that our spiritual life remains smooth enough till the last breath of our life?
Yes. This is the mercy movement of Lord Chaitanya. The entire Panchatattva themselves are investing their mercy in this movement. Every Acharya has invested more mercy. Prabhupada has especially given us the mercy. It is like the caravan going to the spiritual world. In the front, the Panchatattva is dancing with their transcendental associates, followed by Rupa Goswami, followed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, followed by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and all with their associates. And then comes Prabhupada with the international devotees. And somehow or other, we're also in the caravan. Not very qualified, but here we are. And as long as we stay in the caravan, with our failures and successes, as long as we stay, we will make it. Durgame patimendasyas kalat padagatir muhu yat kripa svastidanena santa santavalambanam. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami said, my path is very difficult. My feet are slipping again and again. But by the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas for my support, I can continue on the path. So, whatever may happen, what the greatest difficulty will be, how can I say? No one can say. Because ultimately Krishna is in control. Maya jakshena prakriti suyati sachara charam. Whatever he will send us, I don't know. Vritta Sura was previously Maharaj Chitraketu, a devotee, who unintentionally made some remarks about Lord Shiva without, and Parvati took it as an offense, and he had to go through a demon body. He became Vritasura, but he was a devotee inside and suffered and had to fight with Indra and wanted to be killed. What test did he have to pass? When Indra killed him, he told him, yes, your thunderbolt can kill me. And he didn't mind to be killed. He was ready to go back to Godhead. So the tests that the different... Rantidev gave everything after a long fast. All his food he gave away to a brahmana, finally to a chandala, to a hunter who came. To the dogs of the hunter he also gave. He gave everything again and again, and even his water he gave away to break the fast. So how many tests will come for us? I don't know. Prabhupada had to go single-handedly to the West. His Bhagavad Gita manuscript had been stolen. He started again. Even in the West, so many problems. So many problems. Still he persevered. What will come? I don't know. Maybe the Third World War will come. Maybe we will see so much suffering. Maybe we will see. My parents went through the Second World War in Holland when the country was occupied, and when in 1945 there was a very intense winter and no more food. There were no more dogs and cats to be seen in the country. They had all been eaten. Everything. They were eating the flower bulbs, right? The tulip bulbs. They were eating them. And even that was very difficult. So, millions of people were literally starving. And so many people were shot and killed and so on and taken to concentration camps. So many of my relatives were in the concentration camps. And they would tell. Some died, some survived. What can be said? They had to go through that. We never had this. So I don't know what will come. I don't know. Nobody knows. Only Krishna knows. But we know one thing, that whatever may come, at least we have our shelter. That we always have. We have Krishna for our shelter. And therefore let us now become strong. Now everything is so easy. Now we have such nice conditions. I'm thinking sometimes, now you are here as a sannyasi, people are sitting there, they are so respectful, they serve you. But maybe one day you will be cut off from all the devotees, sitting in a bunker, or being captured and put in a jail, by some enemy, and be kept there without decent food, and nothing vegetarian. Then what will you do? Then what will you do? Will you then chant the name of your Lord? Then you must be ready to chant the name of your Lord. So in this way, we should be prepared to chant under all circumstances and always take shelter of the name of our Lord. Because nothing is sure in this world except that. The holy name is sure. Nothing else. Nothing else. Rupa Goswami himself, our Rupa Goswami, built an amazing temple in Vrindavan. And that temple was destroyed. But Krishna, how is it possible that Aurangzeb could destroy Rupa Goswami's temple? The ways of the Lord are inconceivable. But one thing we have. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. Therefore, after all this kata, after all this speaking and speaking which make the ears tired and red hot, we should just take shelter of the chanting of the holy name. This time, I must excuse myself, I cannot lead the big kirtans because my health is a little down and I have some weakness, and tonight I have to go on a long flight So I don't feel up to a big kirtan with so many people, because I know once I start, I will become too enthusiastic and too fired up, and I'll exhaust myself beyond the limits, and later I have to pay for it. So I beg to be excused from that for a next visit. Huh? Then I'll dance with you. Today I will end with this. Thanking you very much for your wonderful association. I very much enjoyed being here in Chaupati with so many nice devotees. And I pray that we can go deeper and deeper. And not be afraid. Even those who are casual guests, stop being casual guests. Join the ecstasy. It's very much worthwhile. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai. Vittai Gaura Premanande.